CliffCentral.com.
Everybody, what's happening? Hello, hello, hello to you, and especially to you. The weekend's done and dusted. It's back to the weekday, and it's important. We got things to do, man. Can't sit on your hands all week. You got to make things happen. You got to be the action person in your organization. You got to be the person who makes things happen. You got to be that person who they can't do anything without.
Oh.
Yeah, otherwise you count yourself out.
It's a lot of pressure so early, Gareth.
I know, but I mean, that's how it is. That's why you wake up. You don't wake up to go and be average. Otherwise, stay in bed.
But with Beyonce in the world, we all are average.
What's she done now?
She performed at the Grammys, full stop.
Oh, I'm not going to watch the Grammys.
And she breathed, though.
You know what? I'm not going to watch the Grammys. I decided already this morning. It's happening live right now, right?
We have just about 24 minutes left of the Grammys. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not watching.
Why?
Because I know that it's going to become like a political fest, and I'm just tired of being lectured by singers and actors. I'm really tired of it. I don't want, and I'm not even American, so they're not lecturing me. You see, this is the problem: is they're all so consumed with themselves that they've made it all about them and all about America, and they forget the rest of the world also watches the Grammys, and some of it us might watch because we like music.
The essence of the award show?
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. What was the essence of the award show?
Music, but now that's always overshadowed by it.
Yeah, that's just... Anyway, poor old El Giro died talking about music.
Oh, yeah.
I liked him.
Here's the thing, though. Who is he?
Oh, come on.
No, I genuinely don't know. I genuinely don't know who he is.
Listen to this. You'll know this song.
Okay.
Okay? Ready? Take a listen to this. You don't know this? Morning, Mr. Radio. You don't know this?
Nope.
Come on, this is a famous song.
I was about to say it's The Girl Is Mine, but no. Mr. Radio.
Everything is
not yet.
A perfect morning song. Do, do, do. You don't know him?
No, it sounds like a song that you think you've heard because so many people probably have sampled from it. Like when you said The Girl Is Mine.
Mm.
The beginning of the song sounds like that one.
Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
Al Jarreau. Okay, listen to this. Maybe you know this one better. Try this. There's a bunch of different songs, right? Nope. Come on, it's got that 70s groove.
It sounds like a theme song to an 80s TV show.
Listen. Everybody shut up. Give some respect. The man's just died. You know this, right?
Yeah.
What I want to and all I need is to get my baby down. Yeah. What a song. You know all I need is to get my baby down. Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm sad this guy's gone. You know, he used to love him as Thabo Modisani. He used to work with us most. I'm sure you know this. Why is it that we only appreciate this stuff when someone hops the perch, huh? It's like diamond rings, precious things.
So yeah. That's the sad news about him.
I really wish I knew who he was.
Yeah, but you can always go and take a look.
He's from a different time, Sia.
Yeah, don't feel bad. Go and have a look at what else he did. You'll like his stuff. I mean, that's some cool stuff.
16 albums, and he was still touring. He actually just recently, a couple of days ago, announced that he was retiring from touring.
Right.
And was hospitalized for exhaustion. That's when he passed away on Sunday morning.
Right. Exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that was the news. Grammys, they're happening in Los Angeles as we speak.
See.
I got this email. Do you think I should reply?
Uh-oh.
Hello, I am Mr. Siu Boy Tan, an executive financial officer at a bank in Hong Kong. I have carefully read through your profile and location. I could see you fit in an opportunity. I would like to discuss with you on due course. Kindly email me at service@mcconnell.com. I should give you a comprehensive details in my proposal soonest. I read from you for mutual benefits. Regards, Mr. Siu Boy Tan. What do you think I should do?
Sounds so legitimate.
I think you're asleep, buddy, Gareth. Just give us some thought.
Why even?
Sounds
so great on the onset.
It's great. It's terrific. And then here's this. This is great. I've got an 11,500 rand bonus jackpot that I didn't enter. Should I be excited about this one? Dear G. Cliff, one word. This message is regarding the bonus transfer status on 12/02/2017. 11,500 rand. Transfer was completed successfully. Jackpot 169,000 rand. ID blah, 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 blah. Well, click here now for your prize.
What a way to start the week, huh?
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, you should check your bank balance to see if it has changed.
Well, Gareth, you can do both, right?
Do you know what? I'm going to go and check, and I can bet you any amount of money that there's no change. In fact, it's probably gone down.
But you can take that winnings to invest with that guy.
Yes, that's true. Mm. I can give it to Siu Boy Tan.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle, yeah.
All right. Well, how was your weekend? How did everybody get down on the weekend?
Well, my brother celebrated his divorce, which is finally gone through.
Oh.
Yeah, happy days. So my brothers and I went away with my parents for the weekend, just the five of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about it.
How do you celebrate a divorce?
Because you celebrate good things in life, yeah? So henceforth, well, this was a good thing.
No, I just mean, like, do you pop champagne? Do you cut up the tux you wore at the wedding? Do you...
No, I mean, the women will, like, burn their dress or they'll have it redesigned into something else. No, people do these things. They
definitely.
They, you know, it's their way of letting go of
divorce parties.
Yeah.
Well, so you went away with the family, which is very nice.
And on a side note, if you are looking to pick up women, apparently divorce court's the place to go.
Oh.
Is this just from your brother's experience?
Just think of timing, right? You know, wedding crashes.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell's character, Wedding Crash, is like, screw weddings, funerals are where it's at. But it's the same thing. You get people who are quite emotional, uncertain about themselves.
Right.
Mm. You could meet looking them to make the looking court. To make fresh starts.
Hey, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Let's not be non-romantic. I mean, come on.
I'm talking my fresh starts there. What are you talking about?
I know, but tomorrow is the day of love.
Indeed.
Tomorrow, guess who makes a return, a triumphant return tomorrow?
Well, not Al Jarreau.
No, Fabio. Fabio makes a return.
Too soon.
Fabio will be joining us. He, of course, is the master of love tips. You remember him, Mubs.
Fabio is probably the only man that I know who can have sex with 10 women all at the same time.
And satisfy them.
He's quite skilled.
Satisfy them all. You've been one of those 10.
No, absolutely not. Don't start lies here.
How do you know that?
I have never had relations with Fabio.
Because you know that your vagina would explode from pleasure.
No, because the man he travels a lot. He goes all around the world bedding women.
So you're not saying you wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
Oh, I don't believe it. There's no way you could avoid his charms.
I wouldn't.
Well, he makes a return tomorrow. We also all have, divulge our celebrity love crushes. So everybody's going to tell you who their love crush is, their celebrity fantasy, effectively.
Just one.
Just the one.
I was also trying to streamline my list.
Look, if you have two, go for it.
We're not going to discriminate.
Menage a trois. Let me go for three.
You want three. You want a threesome of celebrities. In other words, you want a foursome if you're in it. Is that what you want?
A little swirl and a half there.
Oh, well, that sounds good. Yeah, all right. See, yeah, bring it on. Let's see what happens.
What did you get up to this weekend?
I went to a birthday party on the Friday night
mm-hmm.
and just drank a lot, which was hysterical. But I was very responsible. You know, these days I don't drive at all, so I take Ubers everywhere I need to go. And the last place we ended up in, because I was there with a bunch of mates, was this like a new sort of hip-hop club, which was quite cool.
Hip-hop club?
Yeah. It's all hip-hop. It was like somewhere in Four Ways, believe it or not.
Design Quarter.
That's the one.
I went there the week before.
It's cool, huh?
And they play music. One? They play music videos with the.
But are they playing old school?
Yeah.
Hip-hop?
Oh, yeah.
This new rubbish.
No, amazing stuff.
No, like stuff like actual hip-hop.
You know how you know it was cool?
How?
Five white people.
Yeah, when I was there, Daniel and I were one of two.
See, that's how you know. And that's how you also know, like, white people haven't discovered it yet. You know?
Wait, no, I really feel so uncool because I don't know this place.
No, of course not.
It's in Design Quarter?
You're not cool enough.
That's the thing, though. I'm trying to get my black and cool cards at the same time.
Can't have it. Sorry, we're not going to help. We're not going to help you.
Yeah!
It's like it's the kind of place you go to and you hear songs when Kanye actually had talent.
Yeah.
It's like that.
That good. And then on Saturday I went to this friend of mine had a party at his house, and he and his wife, they've got a like 1-year-old. I think he's probably about 1.5. Anyway, he's the biggest like geek in the world. This friend of mine, and I mean that as a compliment. Like he has, you must see his setup. In fact, I've got a picture of it for you, Mubs. You got to see this to believe it. I took a photograph of it because you wouldn't believe it otherwise. So this guy, this is his setup for gaming at his house, all right. And when he invites you around, I just want to watch him playing.
Okay, so we've got about 1, 2, 3 screens going on here at the same time.
And they're like
monitors,
fold,
right?
Yeah, and they fold round. It's like you're immersed in the experience.
What's all the stuff that he has on, like, stuck onto the wall?
Those are all dead machines that have died, that have been killed.
Geez, so these are actual parts of
computers. And laptops and hard
drives. Like some people hang out, hang up, deer or buck their shot.
He hangs up these things.
Got you. Okay.
But it's amazing because he's got these screens and then he plays these amazing games where
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And then he's got this computer that is cooled by, I don't know, some fancy stuff. And it's connected to the air conditioner, and that's just the most amazing setup. Anyway, we went there, and he put on this virtual reality headset.
Oh, he's got one of those?
Yes, he made us do a roller coaster ride on a chair, which was amazing. And then you get up, and you can walk around famous places. So you go to the White House, for example, and you can be in the room, looking around the room in virtual reality. It blew my mind. I will never leave home if this becomes a reality for me.
Well, especially after Friday's interview as well.
What about it?
Well, we spoke about virtual reality on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, following the conversation.
Sheepers.
But I can promise you now.
Look at me like I just pulled my Johnson out on a Monday.
I just wondered what part of it. You don't need to go anywhere anymore. You don't need to pay for an airline ticket. You don't need to sit in economy for 11 hours, 16 hours. Get out in Washington, feel tired, hope that you're going to get a ticket to the White House. This is the best way to do it. And you can walk from room to room. And you can just look at the paintings. You can stand in the middle of it. It's magnificent.
Huh.
Absolutely incredible. I really don't believe there is much reason for me to leave my house from now until I die. I can stay there the whole time. I've just got to buy one of these VR headsets. But wow, absolutely incredible. And then yesterday just did nothing. Oh, no, I did some work, actually. I was mostly working the entire afternoon, clearing out those pesky emails. and doing some other stuff too.
And did you talk to that girl that we told you to talk to?
Right. No, I didn't. I didn't get around to it. But I bet I will.
Anticlimactic.
No, I'll get to it.
I'm sorry, do you have expectations here?
Yeah. I am now already wrapped up in this, guys. I need some excitement.
I don't know how you
in my
are.
Life. I'm just involved. Vicariously, emotionally.
Can I taste your juice?
Well, not that way. It's a bit too much.
And yours, Bubs? What did you do?
Well,
she's alive, first and foremost.
What, you mean she might not have been?
Well, she was sick.
Yeah, no, that's true. We missed you last week.
See, I checked in on me over the weekend, so I was telling him about, you know, how sick I was. There were people who wanted to come and see me and, like, bring me, you know, food and stuff, and I was very rude to them.
You hate that.
Because when I am sick, just don't bother with me at all, because I am, like, monster on level 10 when I'm usually a level 5.
Wow.
And then on Saturday, I dragged myself out of the bed because my brother and the kids and my cousins and their kids, they'd all gotten together, and I was feeling a bit sorry for myself, so I decided to join them. And then on Sunday morning, I woke up and regretted it because I had regressed.
Oh, no.
And they'd gone out on Saturday. So that was my weekend.
What a horrible weekend.
Yeah, well, you know.
So sad.
There'll be better ones.
All right. Well, listen, if you got up to something fun and you feel like boasting, then let us know. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, true.
You know what to do. 079-748-2090. That's the WhatsApp number. You can send us a WhatsApp. You can also WeChat us. A lot of people. Ah, let me get to some of those. All right. First of all, Faisal says, welcome Monday. And then he lists Gareth, Mubs, Sia, Ben, CliffCentral.com. And then we've got to talk to Neil Collins later on. He is furious. Do you want to set this up for us, Ben?
Oh. Well, okay, so if you like football, this is what happened. Sundowns beat Pirates 6-0.
Yeah.
The biggest story, though, is that Pirates thought, well, screw it, let's just run the field and cause absolute mayhem.
Now, can I?
That's a very, very short what happened.
I am never the sporting guy, ever, ever, ever. But I had some people over this weekend, and one of them is like a sporting fanatic. And so he changed the channel, put this game on. And I was already like, oh, you know, you're interrupting my e-news watching. But I actually watched this, and I have to say, I enjoyed the sporting match simply because it was like World War VII on the field. What was going on?
How did this happen?
Well,
was it the fans?
Yeah, they've got a bit of history with this, and it was kind of like Sona / PSL.
What is this? The Orlando Pirates fans. Yeah. And so they were angry their team was losing.
Put it this way, it wasn't the Sundance fans. They were 6-0 up. They were pretty happy in their chairs.
Yeah, I don't think it was the Sundance fans.
So by the 60th minute, they were like 6-0, and then the transmission ended.
It was the 82nd minute that it actually broke away. But then, yeah, they were like clipping wires, and it was just like the medics who normally deal with, like, I don't know, broken eyelashes or whatever footballers get. They were not having to deal with, like, real wounds and, like, battery, and they're pulling up chairs and just embarrassing for football.
You've got to ask yourself, what is wrong with us? Why can't we just look at Parliament last Thursday? You missed all that action, Mubs. I mean, you were at home watching, no doubt, but you're... Oh, my God, what a mess. And then you see this happening on the sports field. And it's all indicative of a society where we've forgotten how to talk to each other. We've purposefully decided not to talk to each other. Instead, we will immediately resort to violence.
Yeah.
When things don't go your way, you just behave like a child. That seems to be the way that that people behave right now. It's all emotion, no intelligence. And by the way, emotion can be very powerful. It can be used for positive things. It seems, though, that it is just this instinctive base reaction that, well, things aren't going my way, so I'm just going to beat everybody else up. It's crazy. So we'll speak to Neil about that later. Also, Rich Mulholland popping by for the reality check on a Monday. That's always great value. And who have we got in as our guest this morning? Let me have a look here quickly. So much going on, I have to keep a menu open the whole time. you know, otherwise it's just, it gets crazy. Oh, we're speaking to a guy called Joey Evans, who's done the Dakar rally. But he had no idea. I mean, it was amazing. He was involved in a serious crash and smashed 12 teeth, was unconscious with head trauma, several broken ribs, a broken back, and it damaged his spinal cord, leaving him completely paralyzed from just below his chest. And then he still ended up doing the Dakar.
Incredible story.
So it really is quite something. This guy is an, you know, he's an inspiring character, and he's also done some quite crazy feats in his like life since he was paralyzed, which I think is worth talking about, because, you know, there are a lot of us who complain about, oh, well, we don't have enough money, or we're not feeling healthy enough, or we, you know, we don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife, and blah, 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 and my petrol tank is empty, whatever it might be. And then this guy, he was paralyzed, and he's living a meaningful life. So you should be ashamed if you feel sorry for yourself when someone like that walks into the room.
Hmm.
Right? By the way, tomorrow for Valentine's Day, we're going to do a special. We'll be doing a whole bunch of Valentine's stuff. And then, just so you know, I'll be in Cape Town tomorrow morning because I've got to do Afternoon Express today. That's your favorite show, Sia.
Debatable.
Come on, who's on there? Aren't you all your friends on there?
But you know my honest reaction, though.
What?
Last weekend. Well, last week when you told me this news.
Well, you didn't look very impressed.
Exactly.
Did you lose a bet?
Well, no. You know, what I personally don't like is, like, they toy people around, which I don't think is cool. Well, then they smile about it on screen.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, last time they didn't want to have you because you were still involved with Idols, which was like an in-air production, true. Which I don't understand at all. But let's peace, love, and smile, I guess.
Let's see what they do. I want to check this out.
Peace, love, and smile.
By the way, Ben, no, I didn't lose a bet. They've been asking me to do it for a long, long time, mm-hmm. and I kept saying no, and then eventually I thought, you know what? This year I'm not doing any TV.
Do they apologize?
For what? They don't have to apologize for anything.
Okay.
Gareth, how dare you not go here with Sia's chip on your shoulder?
I'm angry on your behalf, actually.
All right, let's take a look at this. Quickly.
It's good that you're level-headed about it.
Let me see what I'm in for. Is this their theme music?
Yeah.
Okay. Express yourself.
Good afternoon, South Africa, and a very warm welcome to you.
Is that Jeannie D?
A warm welcome to you indeed. I'm Bonnie Woolley. Welcome. Today is a very special Thursday in the Loft. We are joined by possibly one of South Africa's most iconic and influential businesswomen, philanthropist, mother, and wife.
I hope they don't call me the most iconic and influential businesswoman.
Well, they're not going to call you philanthropist or mother of anything either.
All right, so what do? They interview you?
Yes.
So what
it's
am
like
I
a whole
for?
Lifestyle show. They have cooking segments and interview segments.
Oh, they're not going to make me cook.
I think they might make you eat a meal they cooked.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, so you'll have
really?
To just go,
How long is the show?
It's great. It's an hour.
An hour on me?
No. I think your interview will obviously just be a segment of that hour.
Oh.
Yeah, but you will be eating.
It will be fine. You know, I think the personalities themselves are wonderful people. I don't have anything against
you
them.
You know I like Jeannie. You know I don't have any
with
issues.
With her numerous makeover.
Yeah. And I have no problem with Bonnie. And who else is there, I mean?
Bonanga's on there.
Oh, it's Bonanga.
I knew she was going to go.
I'm going to ask her about that. If she's on the show today, I'm going to say to her, why'd you talk like this on Top Billing and on Express, but you don't talk like that in real life?
They'll edit that out.
No, they won't. It's live. They can't. They can't edit it out. What should I ask Bonnie? What should I talk to her about?
Bonnie to me is eternally cool. That's the thing, though.
Yeah, there's nothing crazy about her.
Yeah. She has a great book out
I'm going to ask Jeannie if she's, like, because she's Portuguese, if she's got a lot of body hair below the waist.
Oh.
I'm going to ask her how she gets rid of it. Don't you think women want to know that?
No, because women already know how to get rid of it.
They know
it.
How hairy Jeannie D is?
No, women know how to get rid of it.
I'm going
to
ask her.
Maybe the guys are interested. Like that's a question that would interest them.
She looks. Yeah, it would interest them. I know that would interest them. I think she looks fantastic.
Do we still know what the... Have we found out yet what the D stands for? Is it diprosthelis, you know,
no,
something?
No, the Freitas de Nobrega to...
There we go. Yeah. Okay.
No, man. I don't know.
That's
it's just Jeannie D. It's cool. It's fine. Oh, they've got weight loss success stories. Do you want to have a look at that quickly? Yeah, we've got 5 seconds. Let's see what they do on this show. I need to know what I'm in for. Okay, let's move on.
Everything in your wardrobe, and then nothing really fits, so then you get depressed, and then you realize that it's full moon as well, which isn't actually a very good idea for a woman.
Okay, I'm getting nervous.
You're going to have fun.
The show's live, right? So yeah. We can have a good laugh.
All right, so make sure you watch. What happened, Ben?
This mosquito just came into the studio.
Did you get him?
Fraught of danger.
Did you kill it?
No. Just missed him.
Damn it, Ben.
Well, he came out of me from like... Oh.
You're meant to have fast
what
reflex.
What is this show sometimes?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to get into some news. Oh, by the way, the news is brought to you by Col Cacio Pizzeria. And look what I got. I brought it in to display.
Oh.
Okay.
The San Siro salad.
Oh. Wowzers.
In all its glory. Look at this.
Okay.
I ordered it last night, and I thought I'm going to bring it in here and show it off. Isn't it beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. That is the finest salad in the world right there. So, there's cucumbers, there's tomato, there's lettuce, there's sesame seeds. There's some mealy in there, some corn. There's peppadews, plenty of seeds. Oh, it's fantastic. So that's my... I know that salads are not conventional breakfasts, but I'm going to have it.
Possibly not, Gareth, but then again you get the fruit salad.
Yes, but this is
so this
what
is
I
a
want.
Salad.
This is a salad, and I'm thrilled. So, it's time for the news. Let's find out what's going on with Mubs and Col Cacio Pizzeria. Mabale, do you want your theme music?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're good to go.
Okay, go straight to the news.
Well, in case you didn't know, the Department of Water and Sanitation is broke. Yes.
Yeah.
The critical department is now 4.3 billion rand in the red. Yes, you heard that
right. Isn't that because they were supporting Mabala Noise? That's what I heard.
Leaving hundreds of contractors unpaid for at least 7 months. Oh, can you imagine waiting for what's due to you for 7 months? Senior executives from the National Treasury, the department, and key board members told the City Press a few days ago that Cabinet should now place the department under administration because internal controls, project management, and contract management have collapsed.
This is Nomvula Mokonyane, right?
Yes, that is her department.
Good work, woman.
This is the same department that, you know, have been telling us how we need to be saving water because of our critical dam levels. And all those restrictions that were taken up a notch in Cape Town. Yes, that's very same department. So,
but
I don't know what happens now. I mean, I suppose what they look to us to bail them out, as is usually the case.
People need to go to jail now. I'm sick of this. Aren't you sick of this?
People have needed to go to jail for the longest time. I'm just waiting to see what's actually going to be the catalyst that starts seeing people actually go to jail, because nobody has gone to jail for failing to do their job properly.
I made a mistake, and I apologize for it.
Not good enough. Nomvula Mokonyane must go to jail.
Just her or her and...
Her and whoever's responsible for all this overspending. First of all, we want to get to the bottom of the Mabala Noise thing. Because remember, Julius outed them.
Julius has... You know Julius.
Okay, but we know there's some... Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
We need to know the story there. Like, how come Nomvula was bankrolling Mabala Noise? Mm. Then we need to know why our dams have been managed so badly. We've had droughts before. We never had... Droughts have got this out of control. And we have had rain. A ton of rain. January was so much rain. Don't tell me that the dams are still empty. Don't tell me we've got water restrictions.
No, but the weather people said that we'd need like 3 years of consistent rain to refill the dams.
It wasn't the weather people. It was the Department of Water who clearly don't know what they're doing. So I want to know what's really going on there. You're meant to manage one of our most precious resources. You're busy spending up a storm. And the only time I see Nomvula Mokonyane, the only time that she appears on television or on radio or anywhere else, is when she's defending the president. She's not doing anything to do with water and sanitation.
Well, that always will be her side gig. Like most ministers, defending the president is their primary.
Yeah, so her side gig is running the Department of Water Affairs. I'm furious. damn these people from Department of Water and Sanitation.
Yeah. It was a rough weekend for people of Rosettenville over this past weekend, where at least 10 houses were burned down to the ground over the weekend by angry residents who claim that drug dealers have completely taken over and infested their neighborhood. They're selling drugs there. They're running brothels. And the biggest complaint by residents is that the police know about all of this, but they do absolutely nothing about it. So residents decided, well, then they're going to do it themselves.
But hang on. Because Herman Mashaba tried to go in and address the people of Rosettenville last week, and the ANC stopped him. So the mayor's trying to do something, then people stop him, then it turns to violence.
Community members met on Saturday during a meeting where measures to fight against crime were discussed. Police were desperately, trying to control the situation. There were arrests that were made. I think 9 people were arrested. Some of those arrests are linked to, illegal immigrants and alleged drug dealers. But, the plight of residents is that this isn't anything new. This is an ongoing problem that's been, a big thorn on their side long before even the mayor wanted to go in and try and control the situation. And I suppose this is what happens when people get fed up, right?
Yeah.
It's all you need is one person to start something, and then it turns into a mob, and then it snowballs, and it's a domino effect. And then, when all is said and done, 10 houses have been burnt down, and you're left with with a troubled community.
God, what a mess.
Complete mess. So, police, again, were saying that they'll be keeping an eye on the situation. They've said that the burning down of these houses is obviously unacceptable. And they're saying that, they won't hesitate to make arrests where they can find which residents were responsible for burning down those houses, which allegedly belong to drug dealers and people who run brothels.
It's all just very sad, actually. I got to tell you, I feel sorry for the people of Rosettenville. I mean, why should they have to put up with this? If there are drug dealers and criminals in their midst and they know them, surely law enforcement should be called in to sort that out.
Well, there are stories of drug dealers that have entered those neighborhoods and have, thrown elderly people out of homes that they've been living in for years.
Unbelievable.
And throwing them out onto the street and just kind of taking over. And I mean, and
what do you do?
What do you do when the police won't help you? Then what's next on the list?
No, that's awful. It's very, very sad. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Rosettenville, it's, it's a tough neighborhood. And now it just seems it's got a lot tougher. I hope that the houses that they burnt down weren't like nice, happy, innocent citizens. I hope that they were the houses that were drug dens. At least that'll mitigate the fact that property's been destroyed.
Yeah, that's always a risk that you take in these kinds of situations, as innocent people get caught in the crossfire.
Well, it's awful. I'm sorry.
George Michael's boyfriend, or I don't know, was he an ex? It seems like
they were together at the end.
All right, so funny for was, apparently he has been banned from attending the star's funeral by George's family.
Really?
Yeah. The singer's body, believe it or not, has still not been laid to rest, and that's because of all the investigations that had to take place, right? The 43-year-old's lover was the one who found him at his home on Christmas Day. Now, the singer's cousin, Andros Giorgio, he revealed to the media that heaven help him, this is now Fadi Fawaz, heaven help him if he turns up. Fadi has not been invited to the funeral. The family hate him. Oh, dear.
Wow.
That's sad. He's not going to get to say goodbye.
Oh, he'll have to do it.
He lived with the man.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from, though.
They think he was partly responsible, maybe.
It happens a lot with these high-profile deaths that happen early in their lives, that the family then close rank,
and
any lovers or fringe people are completely ostracized.
You know what?
Fringe people.
It's probably fringe.
Fringe.
Oh.
It's probably
and the fringe. Damn you fringe people. Fringe friends, get out of here.
It's probably also because they're worried that he's going to try and get some of the money.
Yep,
that's where it comes from. All right, let's get into some sport. We've got lots to talk about, and Neil is going to be with us in a moment or two. Ben, go ahead. What do you got for us this morning?
Right, so there was lots of rugby, Six Nations. So Italy, they were hammered absolutely. Again, huge amount of score here. 63-10 against the Irish. England, well, they managed to hang on to the unbeaten streak. But at one stage of the match, for a great stage of the match, actually, Wales is looking pretty good. And then the endless kick up field resulted in the English try. And 21-16, the English won. And then Scotland, unfortunately, couldn't capitalize from last week's win. Stalling momentum there. They lost to France 22-16. In cricket news, the protest wrapped it up over the weekend against Sri Lanka. So 5-0 drubbing there. They won by 88 runs, posting a mammoth 384 for 6, which means that now the protests are the number one ODI team in the world. Now, we all knew that was going to happen, so good for them. India versus Bangladesh. India scored 687 runs. Bangladesh, not a hope in hell after that. And they're currently trying to save the test match. They scored 388 and got 159 for 4. And that's where they'll resume today. Kasa Semenya, we all know her as a Olympic medalist, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, Gareth, as of today, she is a double Olympic medalist.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Because Russians are dodgy. So Safinova Varnasova, she won the 2011 World Championships and 2012 Olympic gold for the 800 meters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Costa was in second in both of those races. But unlike Safinova, Costa doesn't do drugs. So she is now the world champion 2011, and she's now a double Olympic medalist.
Do they send her another medal in the post?
I think it is that way, yeah. So the Russian gets stripped of her medal, just like you said, Bolt, because of his dodgy teammate. And happy days for that, huh? Some very interesting golf over the weekend. Eric Fitzroy won the Ivy Africa PGA Championship, but he did it in a playoff against Maketa Mazibuko and Dylan Fratelli. So Maketa was doing bloody well. He was leading, bogeyed the 18th, unfortunately. Eric van Rooyen made birdie into the playoff. Dylan Fratelli, he lost it way right. And then Eric van Rooyen hit it to about a cock's length on 18. And just like that, tapped it in for the win.
Cock's length.
Gareth, it was a 7-9, never missing the flag. And there it was. Bam.
Wow, all right.
Jordan Spieth won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am AT&T title, whatever it's called. He won by 4 shots in the end, at minus 19. But, of course, we have to look at the football of the weekend. Arsenal, they got 3 points. They beat Hull 2-0, which means they're now 10 points behind Chelsea. Chelsea slipping up. They drew with Burnley 1-1. Liverpool did very well against Spurs 2-0, and then Man United, they also won over the weekend. But tonight, Man City can go closer to Chelsea, gone to second by beating Bournemouth. And then in the PSL, unlucky for Wits.
Sorry, are you all right, Ben?
I'm getting a bit choked up with emotion because we're about to talk about something very fiery. So just actually stop dicking around here.
Yep.
Sundown 6, Pirates 0. On the line now, we've got Neil Collins. Neil, after Sona, we thought it was going to be a bad week. And then what we saw at Loftus over the weekend, potentially even worse. I mean, how embarrassing is this on the scale of, I don't know, 1, 2, I can't believe it's happening again.
You think it's funny?
No, I mean, I'm just repeating the last bit of violence we saw before.
Yeah.
Loftus was presaged by an evil laugh.
Yeah, that's
okay, I've never... Yeah, I haven't seen anything like that for a long time. People are just talking about 1990 Arsenal against Man United. Terrible trouble in the... It was mainly only the players. To watch people rush on like that to cause damage to all the TV people that are so good to them is the most shocking thing of all. But the worrying thing for me is I've just dug up the last couple of pieces I wrote about crowd violence in South Africa. Bearing in mind, I go back to 1982 with Orlando Pirates and crowd violence. Nothing will be done. Already you can see SuperSport Blitz kind of downplaying it and pretending nothing bad happened. What we need is a points deduction for Orlando Pirates because they're already in big trouble. This is the worst. It took the Daily Mail in Britain to make this point yesterday. They said that this, in 80 years of Orlando Pirates' existence, they've never been 10th. Particularly at this stage of the season. So what we need is a points deduction, which will put them close to relegation, might focus their minds a little bit, and we don't need Irving Kosa finding Irving Kosa, which is effectively what we have. That is the awful situation that we're in, because the guy that runs Orlando Pirates runs the PSL. We're in a situation where, you know, that's the worst anyone can do. Irving Kosa is basically finding himself. Last time this happened, 2012, they'd been done 3 times in about a year. I was at one of the games, and the fine was suspended. And then he went to the DRC at the PSL saying, my fans, these fans aren't my responsibility, but they are. And they're complaining, they're not complaining about something ethereal, they're complaining about the way that Irvin Kozar runs that club. They're 10th, they have a caretaker manager, it's unbelievable what's happening.
But Neil, shouldn't there be like a blanket around this? I mean, we've seen it so many times. Last year, I can't remember what it was, the Polish team in the Champions League played Real Madrid to no fans whatsoever. It's a pretty simple thing, your fans misbehave, the club suffers. Is it not something that the FIFA can then step in, or CAF or whoever, and say, look, Ivan Kozar, sorry, PSL, whatever, same thing. This is how it works. How is it that a guy like this can get away with so much, and him and his club?
He's a law unto himself, right?
Yes, no, he's a law unto himself. Remember this, at the moment, at the Orlando Stadium for home games, they're selling less than 500 tickets. So it's not going to be a very serious punishment if they make them play behind closed doors. Both Kaiser Chiefs and Orlando Pirates are at the lowest ebb in terms of crowds, and the PSL keeps this top secret, and they won't tell me any figures. But it won't hurt them to play behind closed doors because they don't care about the fans. They bring in over 200 million a year from DStv and Vodacom and their other sponsors. They don't care about the fans. They don't care about fines, okay? The fine will be paid by Pirates to the PSL, and PSL, it's frightening when you think about it. It makes me want to kick things. I'm at ETV, and I'm thinking about putting holes in walls here because unless we take a firm grip of this and say to Orlando Pirates, right, you need to lose points, you need to be threatened with relegation, which they would be. If they lost 3 points now, they would be threatened with relegation. Then we can have a situation where Orlando Pirates fans, when they think about jumping over that barrier in their brand new white and red shirts, I looked yesterday, most of the people that did it are middle class. They're people that can afford the brand new replica shirts. If those people think, gee, if I jump over this wall, if I stop pulling cables out, if I stop breaking things, then my club will lose another 3 points. That's the only way to stop Orlando Pirates fans taking out their understandable anger on a club that has absolutely destroyed them. They go to work today, those Orlando Pirates fans, and it's embarrassment. It's something akin, if you're a football fan, it's something akin to a family member being badly injured because you are an Orlando Pirates fan. You wear your replica shirt. You go to work, whether it be at a computer or sitting there digging something, and all the Kaiser Chiefs and Sundowns fans are laughing at you. And that's why they get so angry. They're directing their anger not at Loftus-Versfeld or Sundowns. They're directing it at Irvin Kozar and the way he runs his club. He had a caretaker manager in charge. He'd lost 3 games in a row. And he had a 7-week break. And he didn't replace that coach. Today they're having a press conference. I'd love to see all the Orlando Pirates fans go to the Rand Stadium and actually take it out on the people who did this to them. That's how it has to be. Don't take it out on Loftus-Versfeld, who will probably now refuse to have football games. Don't take it out on Sundowns, where Peter Mosimane went as far as calling Percy Tau over and saying, look, don't take the mickey. Don't start being all tricky because we're 4-5-0 up. And I said at 3-0 up, I said there's going to be trouble. You could see the Pirates fans massing. There was no security. No one stepped in to stop it. And who runs security? Who runs the travel for every PSL club by right? No one's allowed to travel any other way. Who runs the marketing? Who runs M Sport that do the marketing for the PSL? It's all the same person. It's Irvin Kozar, his son, and an agent called AB. We've got to stop this. We've got to nip it in the bud and make sure that people understand. Orlando Pirates pull in 200 million a year, and they spend about 4 or 5 million on transfers. I mean, that is unbelievable to me that thing can happen. And if it was Arsenal fans, if it was Real Madrid fans, they would be doing exactly the same. Because believe me, I was at the height of the hooligan problems in England in the 80s, and they've managed to wipe it out with points deductions, 1990, Man United, Arsenal, and by telling these clubs, if your fans misbehave, you suffer. Irvin Kozar, if you look on Twitter, I've linked it, Irvin Kozar 3 years ago tried to distance Orlando Pirates from their fans in a unique move that hasn't happened anywhere in the world. Your fans are your responsibility. You run the club badly, your fans will get angry. That's how football works.
It must be, and that's the only way it can work. So you've got to go onto Neil's Twitter profile right now. He's tweeted all these columns that he speaks about. It's at NEALCOL, Neil Cole. Neil, thanks so much.
Neil, you're so controversial. My God.
You're controversial. I lost my job last week at the New Age, which is the best thing that ever happened to me. I can finally stop writing for that crap. And they took away my column last week because Irvin Kozar went in the office and complained that I was an agent that my work was propaganda.
God,
so believe me, I understand what Irvin Kozar is doing. I understand why the Orlando Pirates you're all their fans are angry, even the nice ones. And you've got to accept that the way football runs in South Africa, right from match fixing at the World Cup, right from keeping secret how much Erwin Khoza and Danny Yordan got paid,
yep.
right from the ANC link
yep.
to everything in football, those things are serious. I don't say them because I want to. I don't want to get death threats and have people waiting outside my estate. I want South African football to have a team that's in the top 10, not 62nd in the world. And I want to have a good Premier League, not just the, you know, Sundowns because Patrice Motsepe has got a lot of money. It needs to be better. It's our national sport. It doesn't want to go like the Springboks.
Right.
That's how I feel. And there's no agenda here. It's just me and you and the truth.
Well, that's why we like having you on. We must get you in here again for a proper discussion. It's always
any time, mate,
about.
But you are very controversial.
Oh,
so
shut up. You're much more controversial. All right, thank you very much, Neil.
All
right, you guys.
Thanks a lot.
All right, let's get to Anthea now. Let's see what's going on in the money. Are you ready, Anthea?
I am.
Oh, good.
So fired up this morning.
Here you are on a Monday morning. All right, so how are you, Anthea, first of all? How was your weekend?
My weekend was okay. Caught up with some friends. Very good, actually.
Very nice.
Post Friday's 1.5% in the market. Very good, actually.
Wasn't that nice?
Oh, it was very nice. Really good.
I just couldn't stop looking at that screen. I was so excited.
You are addicted, aren't you, Gareth?
I'm totally addicted. So I just saw green and I was so happy.
What a pleasure. Even Brait was up, eh?
I know.
2%. Who would have thought? Did you see the resources, though? My goodness. Kumba was up 7.5%. Anglo-American, 4.5%. I mean, geez. Okay, gold were down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But the rest of the shares. And actually, just generally, the market was quite buoyant. Global markets were higher. We had some nice data coming out of the UK. And then, of course, Trump talking about his phenomenal tax change or whatever he called
it. What was that? What's that all about?
Basically,
I didn't understand.
Yeah, so basically he's saying that he will cut corporate tax from 35% to 15%. And all that means is that he'll increase corporate profits. If you just take it like that, like flat out, you know, cutting corporate tax to 15% from 35%. Actually, I think what he doesn't realize is that after 10 years, he will add $7.2 trillion to U.S. national debt. So this he doesn't understand. He'll increase it by 50%, basically.
Oh,
I mean, if it's tax neutral and he manages to get tax in from somewhere else, it really is a balancing act. Okay, nobody likes to pay tax. And I was reading something really interesting this weekend about why we need government and why we shouldn't pay one single cent more of tax than we actually need to.
Right.
But if government can't balance the income, like what they're getting in from their tax and what they're spending, then of course taxes, like with us, it'll just keep going up.
Oh, good for you.
Well, the point is exactly that. You've got to manage what you've got properly before you ask for more. Imagine a child who keeps dropping its ice cream, keeps coming to you to buy a new ice cream.
Yeah, and
oh, but I dropped that one. You dropped the last five, Johnny. You there's something wrong with you.
Well, in 9 days' time, we're going to have exactly that, aren't we?
Well, you may just have what you saw on the field with Orlando Pirates happening with ordinary people in this country who are sick to death of being taxed by a government who are abusing the tax money.
Indeed. Anyway.
All right. So what else is going on?
So as I was saying, global markets quite much higher. The UK, even after their kind of Article 50 was approved, they came out with some really good economic data. So despite Brexit, they do seem to be going okay. And the pound strengthening, you know, with pre-Brexit it was 143 and then it went all the way to 121. It's about 125 now. By the way, do you know that they call the pound dollar cable?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so the exchange rate, like in market slang, we don't say the dollar pound exchange rate like we say the rand dollar exchange rate. We call it cable. And the reason for that is because they laid submarine cables in the 19th century, and the first cable, the dollar pound transaction, was done by this underwater cable in 1866. Bit of useless information.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Cool. Yeah. See, now I can sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so when people ask you about an exchange rate, you go, do you want to know what cable is?
Great.
Just talk about cable
I'm going to drop that in.
And then our retailers were quite strong on Friday as well, except for Dis-Chem, which was down about 4%. So they released their first sales update since they've listed. Retail turnover was up 14.3%, which sounds fine, but actually inflation was about 9 point something. So you know, effectively organic inflation or increases or increase in turnover is only about 5, probably 6, because it's not a perfect
correlation. Are we disappointed?
We are disappointed a little bit, yes. They opened 8 new stores. They're saying they're going to open 21 in their full year 18 results, which I'm not sure when exactly their year end is, actually. So if this was the half, it would be probably September. And yeah, they didn't give much information, but it's not incredible. I mean, it's a share price that is being driven really by a lot of sentiment, and I'm not sure the fundamentals are that great, but everybody knows Dis-Chem, everybody loves Dis-Chem, and so they buy the shares.
Well, they sell medicine cheap and all that cosmetic stuff and all the personal hygiene stuff. And
so, like, know, a one-stop shop, really,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
aisles are wide.
Right,
unlike
exactly.
Clicks, which is a little bit cramped. That's how I feel when I go into them anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, according to people who shop regularly there, they seem to think that the prices are good too.
Okay, I'll take their word for it. And then also we had ArcelorMittal reporting full year earnings, or I shouldn't say earnings, because it was a loss on Friday. This was an odd one. The share was almost 1% higher. Mm. And yes, they are reporting a loss, but I think we've just expected so little from them in the past. So I looked at the share, how it's done over kind of the 5 years. And 5 years ago, it was a 60 Rand share. It's now a 13 Rand share, although in the last year, it's up 73%. Whether we should be buying the share or not, I'm not sure, right? They still think that end user demand will be low, and they're worried about it. They still think there's an oversupply globally, South African economy, infrastructure not growing, so no demand for steel. It's really such a difficult one to call, because they could increase, but from a really low base,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you could see a nice increase. And the loss really came from impairments, so 4.2 billion rand in impairments and a 2.5 billion rand in fines and restructuring changes. So, you know what, I'm actually just going to wait and stay away from it a while. And it still has negative free cash flow for this year, so not very exciting from that point of view, even though the shares run 73%.
Well, listen, I mean, good for them. I don't. If you say we're not ready to buy yet, then we're not ready to buy yet. I'll take your word for it. How about Itel Tile?
Yes, so this is a stock I really like. It's not in our model portfolios because it's really an illiquid share.
Yeah, you said it's very hard to come by.
Exactly. And the other problem is that they've still got the ceramic industries deal hanging over their head. So they currently own 20% of ceramic industries. They're bidding for another 76%. And the Competition Commission are saying, first they said no, and then Itel Tile went back and said no, but we can, you know, change things a bit and make it more conducive to or palatable for the Competition Commission. So I think in mid-March is when they're looking for another final kind of outcome on this. Really not a bad result, though. Group turnover, 3.5 billion rand, up 14% from the previous year. The problem is, and this is interesting, is that because the rand has been so strong, they've seen a lot of imports from competitors. And so, again, like the steel business, there seems to be this almost oversupply in the market. And so even though I actually really like this share, I'm a bit worried about kind of no GDP growth in South Africa and this oversupply. They did say, though, pretty much like we've been saying the whole of last year, is that actually people are still improving their homes. So there's still kind of home improvements going
sure.
on, which is great. Something else that was interesting that I noticed in their results, Gareth, is that the staff share scheme, which they started in 2013, vested in August 2016 last year. And out of the total of 334 employees that qualified for the vesting for this period, so obviously it's like a rolling thing because somebody who joined after 2013 only got their shares vested later on.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the first one. Only 42 employees opted to receive shares, and the balance of 292 employees took the cash.
Yeah, but people are stupid.
Yeah, it's, and I get that people
are so dumb. They just want the cash right now. They can't delay gratification just a few months.
Exactly, right? It's such a shame. The average payout after tax was 204,000 rand per individual. That's the average. In total, they paid out almost 60 million rand in share options. I mean, so kind of. It was
can you imagine what those shares will be worth, though?
In 10 years, can you?
No.
Yeah, a lot more. Oh, absolutely.
Dummies.
Yeah.
Only 40-odd people kept the shares. 200 and something.
92 didn't. My God. Took cash, eh?
Dumb.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about.
We need to change this.
Let's talk about investment styles quickly, because we haven't spoken about hashtag invest for a little while.
Yeah, and I keep getting asked about this actually. So the first thing I want to point out is the difference between saving and investing. So if you're saving for something in 3 months' time or 6 months' time, then what you want is capital preservation, a yield, so you can go to the bank or you can get a deposit, or you can put it in the conservative portfolio. But understand that when you're investing, you will be prone to volatility. And that's why we always talk about it long term.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I think people don't understand is, even though I say, you know, this is a long term investment, 5 to 10 years, hopefully 20 to 30 years, is that actually your money is liquid. So you can get your money out kind of in 3 days, if you like. So you just sell down your portfolio. So if you have an emergency, you can, but try not to. That's kind of the one thing. And then I've been asked about what my investment style is. And they are basically, there are three investment styles. So Warren Buffett is very much like a value investor. He goes out and looks for stocks that are undervalued, but it may take a long time for the value to come through. So he does not want to pay a premium or slightly more for the stock in the hope that it'll go up. He wants to buy a stock that is absolutely dirt cheap. The problem with these is that they can stay dirt cheap for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes in cycles. You know, as the economy goes, so do investing styles. But I much prefer a growth style. So what you're looking for is a company that exhibits signs of above average growth,
right?
Even though the share price can be a little bit expensive. So think of Naspers. So there's a stock that is growing well in excess of kind of your average growth per annum in not only in the sector, but in the country or on the stock exchange. But it's on a 75 times multiple. Like, and that makes my eyes water. Like, to buy a stock like that is hard to do. It looks expensive. But actually, the fact that it just keeps growing, you kind of have to close your eyes and do it. You wouldn't do that with absolutely every single stock. And then the third one is momentum investing. So this is buying a share that has already run a little bit, hoping that it'll continue running. In other words, that it has a trend and it has a momentum. The problem with that, of course, is that you're buying relatively high on a share price valuation with a hope that it'll increase. Again, kind of a nice bias. And then almost you're selling low, because you're selling once, if you're holding the share and it falls, you're suddenly selling it when it's fallen.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mean, I get the momentum.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, but the only share it really makes sense for is Naspers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was really a momentum play, wasn't it? Like, it
absolutely.
Just, even though it was expensive, just kept on going.
All right. So different investment styles. Everybody obviously has a different take on this, but you've explained your position quite nicely.
We're growth with a hint of momentum.
There we go. And obviously there are four portfolios you can go and have a look at. Lots of people already have if you're interested in investing now. I was talking to one of my friends over the weekend. I didn't know, but she's taken out one of the hashtag invest portfolios.
Do you know which one?
Aggressive.
Oh, okay. People like the aggressive portfolio because it's a pure share portfolio.
Yes.
And it's the excitement of having the shares. And that hopefully will be the one that does well over the longer term.
But she was saying that she's taken it out, and she thinks it will be the kind of thing that she wants to, in 20 years' time, be able to use for her child's education.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I want.
Correct. So if you want to do this, then all you need to do is go along to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com, and you'll find all the info there that'll guide you through putting your own portfolio into action. Very cool.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, Anthea, thank you. All righty. A lot of people still very upset about Al Jarreau. The news broke yesterday that Al Jarreau died, and even though Sia didn't know who the hell he was until this morning, and neither did Ben, really.
Well, look, you failed to point out his greatest song of all.
Which one?
All My Love.
Was that, you think that's his greatest song?
Of course, and tomorrow's Valentine's Day.
Well, okay, I'm going to go with Morning for now. We could always play that one a little later. But I thought, you know what, it's Al Jarreau. This guy was extraordinary. And it is Morning on a Monday. So this is kind of cheesy and it should make you feel good. CliffCentral.com.